Utmatia daf lamed hay amud beis. When the law is unfair, halo ases choraim paratol shel chaveiro. We talked yesterday in daf lamed gimel, when we learned daf lamed gimel together, about the polarity between authenticity and originality. That in the learning of Torah, there needs to be both. There's got to be chidush, there's got to be something original, and there has to be authenticity, that what one is learning and teaching is according to the Masorah, is according to the tradition one has been handed. And managing that polarity of authenticity and originality is an important part of Limud HaTorah. Today we take that idea further in the polarity between a sense of faith, of trust in the Torah, and reason. On the one hand, we are reasoning human beings. We can or are meant to reason. On the other hand, we're handed down certain principles from the Torah, and we abide by those principles. How do we manage that? How do we manage the subjective capacity to reason within an alignment to that which the Torah teaches us? And in that, we'll understand. I'm just going to take you through a comment and almost an aside of the Rishonim, particularly of the Rosh and the Tosfos Shantz, and from that aside to show a principle of how we learn, how we reason, which links into the Medrash Shir that we did together on Shabbat morning. The Mishnah teaches us HaSocher Para Michaviro. So we're starting the area of Shomrim. Shomrim are different trustees, different ways you might be in possession of something which isn't yours. Not as a gazlan, not as a thief, but in a legitimate way. You're in possession of something which doesn't belong to you. And there are four types of shomrim, four scenarios where this can take place, and everything else is categorized into these four scenarios. The first one is a shoel. Let us talk about the shoel first, who's on one entrance of the spectrum. The shoel is a borrower, somebody who borrows something from you. He borrows your car. He's not paying you for your car, but he's allowed to use your car. So he's got usage and he's not paying, so his liability is the highest. Should anything happen to the car, he's responsible, unless the car goes to pieces just while using it, normal wear and tear. That, after all, he borrowed it to use it. But if it's not normal wear and tear, even if it's an onus, terrorists attack him on the way and they shoot up his car, they shoot up your car, he has to replace the car. He has no excuses. That's the shoel. On the other end of the extreme is the shomer chinam. I ask you to do me a favor. I'm not paying you, but please look after my car for me. I haven't given you permission to drive it. Just can you lock it up in your basement? And you say, sure. So you're a shomer chinam. Your liability is least because you're doing me the favor. So the shoel, the borrower, the lender is doing the borrower the favor. And the shomer chinam, it's the depositor, the Shomer is doing a favor for the depositor, for the person who gives it to him. And he's patur for everything. No matter what happens, he doesn't have to pay unless it's pshia, unless he's been negligent. So that's the other extreme. In the middle, we have the shomer sachar and the socher, who treated pretty much the same. A socher is a renter, and a shomer sachar is somebody who's being paid to look after the item. So if you rent my car, you're a socher. If I pay you to look after my car, you're a shomer sachar. In the case of the socher, you're allowed to use the car. In the case of the shomer sachar, you're not allowed to use the car, but you are being paid, so you're getting benefit. In both those cases, you are potter if it's an oynes, if something beyond your control happens, you're potter. And obviously, if you're careless, you're chayiv. But even gnevah v'avidah, even if the item is lost and it's stolen, something which wasn't caused by your negligence, nor was it an oynes, you weren't held up by terrorists, it got stolen in the middle of the night. In those cases, you would be chayav, you would be obligated. So we'll refer to these four shomrim over the period of certainly this perek and through the rest of the mesechta. So here we have a person of asocher para mechaviro. A person is a socher. He rents a car from his friend. The Mishnah doesn't say car, the Mishnah says cow. But it's the same idea. You get it. He rents the car. And he then lends it to somebody else. V'hish'ila l'acher. And he lends the car or the cow to somebody else. U'meta kedarka. And it just dies. The car just stops working. The cow just dies. It's not, no event, nothing really happened. Now, what's interesting is, so what are these two relationships? You've got the owner and you've got the borrower, and in the middle, you've got the renter. The owner rented it to the renter lent it to the borrower. And they're different halachot, because what happens now? Yishava hasocher shemeta kedarka. the renter has to swear to the owner that the animal died naturally. It's not the owner's business. Did I give it to somebody else? Didn't I give it to somebody else? The fact is, I rented the cow, and the cow dropped dead. And as long as I know that that's what happened, there was no act of negligence, I make that shvua, I swear in that way, and then the cow go, then I pay the owner. Omar Rabbi Yossi says, Rabbi Yossi, are you out of your mind? Do you understand what you've just said? Ketzad hala uses chora befaratzo shel chaviro. What's happened is the socher is going to make money, because now what happens? Because ha-shoel yishalem la-socher. What about the relationship between the renter and the borrower? So the renter goes to the owner and he says, I'm very sorry, your cow just died, not my fault. He takes a shvua, he makes an oath, finished. Now the renter comes to the borrower and says, where's the cow I lent you? The borrower said, it died, just died. He says the renter, well, you're chayiv, you're a shoel, you borrow, you owe me a cow. So what lands up happening? The renter gets himself a cow on the back of the owner. The owner loses a cow, the renter gains a cow. Says Rabbi Yossi, that's not fair. That's not how law works. The borrower has to give it back to the owner. And morally and ethically, that makes a whole lot of sense. Says Rabbi Yossi, this isn't fair. How can you let the renter trade on the back of the owner, of the owner's assets? That doesn't make sense at all. So that's fine. That would all be fine if it went. Rabbeinu Hananel says, by the way, that obviously we're talking about, although it's not so obvious, but we won't go into that now, where the owner gave the renter permission. You didn't rent the car from Avis and sign something that says you're not allowed to have anybody else drive the car. On the contrary, you've signed a contract that says you may hand the car to everybody else, but you are liable as the renter. So that's the contract they had. Says the Tosfos Shantz. Remember, the Tosfos Shantz is very, very important. The Rabbeinu Tam starts the school of Tosfos, the French school of Tosfos, and then his nephew continues the school of Tosfos, Ri Azochin, the great Ri. And after the Ri comes the Tosfos Shantz. And the Tosfos Shantz says, V'shema hainu time with Rabbi Yossi. And maybe, what's the reason for Rabbi Yossi? Really, Tosfos Shantz? Do you need a reason for Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi gives his reason in the Mishnah. How can you have one person making money on the back of another person's asset? That's not fair. If you want to discuss what's the reason of the Chachomim, for the first part of the Mishnah said, no, you can. It's fine. He takes an oath to the owner, and then he claims the money from the borrower, and he lands up with an ox that wasn't his. That's where you've got to ask, what's the reason? No, says Tosfos Shantz. Maybe the reason for Rabbi Yossi is the chashiv socher kishlucho shel maskir, that we regard the renter as the agent of the owner, but the owner is the principal. So it's my, now if we look at the whole scenario, what happened, it's my car or cow that on my behalf you lent to this other person. But I'm the principal, you were just the agent. You facilitated the deal. But my deal is now with the end user. My deal is with the shoel. And therefore the shoel, the borrower, who's lost my cow, must repay the cow to me. So Shantz, maybe that's what Rabbi Yossi is thinking. And the Rosh actually brings that lahalocha. Taima de Rabbi Yossi, he doesn't say v'shema. Maybe he adopts it. He's later than the Tosfos Shantz. And the Rosh brings in Psak Halacha. Taime de Rabbi Yossi mishim dechashiv socher ki'ilu ishilo b'shtichut ha-maskir hilkach din ha-maskir im-ha-shoyo. That's the reason. And I'm struggling with this Rosh and thinking to myself, really, that's the reason? Rabbi Yossi is giving us a reason. Why do you need any more of a reason than that? And here, in this side comment of the Tosfos Shantz, which is legislated la-halacha by the Rosh, in this we have this whole approach to the way we reason in Torah and the way we reason in Halakha. It's true. Rabbi Yossi says it's not fair. It can't be that that's how the Halakha comes out. So what does a posek do when the outcome of the Halakha seems wrong, seems unfair? We learned yesterday that the role of a Rav, what a Talmid gets from his Rebbe, is how not to think, how not to view the world. That's more important than how to view the world, how not to view the world. Imagine if everybody today in the world knew how not to view the world. Imagine, would we be in a mess in Eretz Israel? Would be a mess in the United States? Would we be in a mess all over the world? If everybody had learned from their Rebbe, starting from Putin to Biden to Trump to all the wokey people and the people here on the left and on the right, the religious and the non-religious, if everybody had been taught by their rabbeim how not to see the world, how not to think. No, it doesn't mean everybody would have the same opinion, but at least the range of absurdity would be limited. We wouldn't have those edges of absurdity because people would know how to think. That's what the role of a Rebbe is. If a Rebbe has taught us how to think, when we see something in the halacha that doesn't seem fair, and our Rebbe has taught us how to view the halacha, how to look at what lens to look at the Torah, what do? You can't just throw it out. You can't say, well, you know what? It doesn't look fair, so it's wrong. Because then you're on to conservatism and reform. So change the halacha. Now you've got to work with the halakha to find a way through the halakha. One of the amazing things that Rav Moshe Feinstein taught me during those few weeks, those precious weeks that I had with him before he passed away, was the role of a rov, of a posek, is to solve human problems. It's not the paskan halakha. It's to solve problems that are created by halakha. But you've got to understand the human problem. You've got to feel the empathy before you can even start with the halacha. You've got to feel the tragedy. You've got to feel the difficulty. You've got to feel the dilemma. And now you use halacha to navigate a way to solve this. And we had that beautiful story that with Zalman Meltzer in the marketplace where he just felt that I've got to find a way to get this back to the woman. She's in a terrible state. It's not fair that the halacha with her, because of Yehu Shalom Idas, is going to land up taking her money away from her. It's not right. So he finds a brilliant way of working within halacha to come to that conclusion. That's what we have to be able to do. We have to work within halacha. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes halacha is inflexible on an area and you can't find a way. But generally, where there's a possibility to find a way within halakha, says the Tosfos Shanz. Yes, Rabbi Yossi doesn't like the outcome, but then what's his technical method to solve it? That's it. The technical method is to see the socher as a shaliach, to see the renter as an agent. Then you can solve it. So it forces you, the fact that you look at it and say, but I feel the pain of the owner. Then when this is all done, the owner says, what's happened here? I've lost my cow, and you've got a cow, but it wasn't your cow to start with. What's happened here? It doesn't make sense. You've got to feel that owner's anguish, and then work within halacha and say, but if we will treat the socher as a shaliach, then the shoel, the borrower, has to deal directly with the owner, and the agent is taken out of the picture, and that's Rabbi Yossi's methodology. This morning I had a wonderful time because Reb Simcha Zissel Ziv came in to teach me. I just have these wonderful experiences where my teachers come to teach me. Reb Simcha Zissel, you remember, is the Talmud of Reb Yisrael Salanter, the founder of the Kelmer Talmud Torah, one of the Rabbeim of Reb Eli Elopian. It was my Rebbe in his old age, but it was my father's Rebbe Muvak. He's the person who taught my father how not to think. And he got that from Reb Simcha Zissel and from his son Reb Nochum Zev. And that comes from Reb Yisrael Salanter. That's where our tradition comes from. And those of you learning with me on Shabbos and during the week are beginning to see, I hope, how it's all one shear. It's all a different stroke on the canvas that we're building of a worldview based on the Torah as taught to us by our masters and rabbein from the Lithuanian tradition. That's what it is that I'm trying to convey to you. And it doesn't matter if it's in the morning Matmonim or it's in the Medrashah on Shabbos, it's all part of the same thing. And I made a slight reference to Reb Simcha Zissel on Shabbos, but here I've quoted the whole. Unfortunately, we don't have time to learn through the whole, but one should. When he says that Avraham Avinu didn't have a revelation with Hashem until not only had he mastered truth with his own intellect, he'd got to the truth with his own intellect. Hashem only appears to him in his old age. Until that time, he's got no textbook, he's got no rabbeim, he's worked it all out himself. And how confident is he in how correct he is? He throws himself into a fiery furnace because he knows he's right. That was before Hashem appeared to him. He didn't have anything to go by. He didn't have a Rambam that says you've got to give your life or something like this. He worked that out. He took on Nimrod. He fought with the world. He opposed the world. He fought against the trends. He didn't just accept the trends of the time. He fought against them based on what? What Torah did he have? No Torah. He only had his own mind and his own intellect. And Reb Simcha Zissel quotes the Medrash we learned on Shabbos that for 26 generations, Derech Eretz came before Torah. And Reb Simcha Zissel explains Derech Eretz meaning there, not Derech Eretz in the sense of, as we usually mean it, character and courtesy and so on. Derech Eretz there means rational thinking. For 26 generations before the Torah was given, all we had was rational thinking. And says Reb Simcha Zissel, because the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to make sure that we know how to think rationally and live according to our rational thinking before he entrusted us with faith in the Torah. It's an unbelievable principle. It's not faith and then you can reason. You've got to be able to reason. You've got to know how to think and you've got to know how not to think before you can even be zoicheh to the Torah, before you can even have access to the Torah. You have to be a reasonable, a rational human being. You have to be able to think. And only then comes the Torah. And that's the meaning, the Michtav Melior, Rabbi Elia Dessler goes on to say, based on this Reb Simcha Zissel, and that's the meaning of Yafet Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. Talmud Torah with Derech Eretz goes well together. It creates a beautiful, exquisite symphony. Torah with, what does Derech Eretz mean? It doesn't mean secular studies. Derech Eretz doesn't mean courtesy and kindness. Derech Eretz means rational, reasonable thinking. Because the Torah doesn't expect us to abandon our reason in the pursuit of faith. If we did that, we would be no different from Muslim or Christian fundamentalists who are rigid and are unable to find a way and to navigate a way in the modern world because we're committed to faith alone. And the Torah doesn't expect us to abandon faith in our pursuit of reason because then we would be secular rationalists and we would just follow our reason. What the Torah expects of us is to create this beautiful symphony of reason and faith, of understanding the Torah and using it, and understanding reason. Rabbi Yossi says, using my reason, this doesn't make sense. The soicher, the renter, can't be making money on the assets of the seller. But what do I do? I've got halacha. How do I work with this? So he uses the power of innovation to blend the human problem with halachic technique and empathy and reason to create an outcome that is derachei derachei noam, which is not only right and correct according to Torah, but also is beautiful and pleasant. And we pass in the halacha like Rabbi Yossi against the Chachamim.